You're listening to Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. For more information, visit rightdirection.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Today's message is It's All About Jesus by Dr. Herbert Bailey.
Colossians 1:16. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or power. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. That means he holds it all together. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn of the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him, to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, Paul stressed, by him I say, there was, what was that cartoon, Swapping Kids? I said. Some of y'all remember that cartoon. I said. Paul said, by him I say, whether it be things in earth or things in heaven. I want to start this series today entitled, It's About Jesus. Look at somebody, say, it's about Jesus. I want you to know that it's about Jesus. This writing here from the book of Colossians, Paul is emphasizing what God has done for us, through us, and what he desires for us through Jesus. And so he exalts, lifts up, magnifies the importance of us understanding who Jesus is. And this chapter, it even the earlier verses in Colossians 1:13, it says that we ought to give thanks to God who redeemed us and made us a part of the inheritance of God. And then verse 13 said, he delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. Everybody say, we in the kingdom now. See, once you get saved, you're taken out of the kingdom of darkness and you're transferred or translated into the kingdom of his dear son. Who's his dear son? What's his name? Jesus. And then he goes on to say, all the rest of the verses are referencing who Jesus is and what he did. And so he says in verse 60, all things were created by him, by Jesus. And then he said, not only that, all things not only made it created by Jesus, they were created for Jesus. Now, you, let that rest upon your mind. Think about that. Think about all the things you want and everything that you're trying to get. But then reconcile that with the scriptures where it says all things were created by him and for him. And then it says he is before all things, Jesus. And by him, all things consist, are held together. It's not your degree that holds your life together. Can I tell you, it's not even your love that you have for your husband, for your wife, for your boo, that holds things together. It said everything consists by him. In other words, whatever you have, God's holding it together. Come on, God's holding you together. Come on, some of y'all know you ain't together, and God's still holding you together. Come on, some of y'all, you know, you're not even managing your life, in some kind of way, God's still managing your life. You're not even organized, in some kind of way, stuff is just working together for your good. And you got to recognize it's God, it's his grace. Then he says in verse 18, he's the head. He's the head. You know, even in the church, because when I read this, you know, I taught y'all about honor. And there's an honor that you ought to give to your pastor. There's an honor you ought to give to your spiritual leaders. There's an honor you ought to give to all those in authority. There's an honor that you ought to give to people who have helped you and your elders, etc. And then despite all that honor, he still reminds us, he's the head. Even of the, you know, we have all these titles in the church. We got, you know, we got the chief this and the prelate and the prostitutes and the pompous, glory to God, and the chief of this and the president of that and the ecclesia of this, and glory to God. And then the Bible said, just still don't forget, I don't care what titles we have, he's the head. He's the head of the body. He's the head of the church. And then it says, and God did this so that he can have preeminence. Preeminence means that he can be the head one in charge. God's supposed to be the preeminent one. Now watch this. Which is all the more so for those of us who are given great authority and influence in the church. God's only going to give you authority and influence to the degree that you recognize I'm still the preeminent one. I'm still the head. You know, one of the concerns that some people have of churches like ours, non-denominational churches, one of the concerns that people have when you don't have an apostolic body or governing body or outside that local church, you know, like a denomination where they have bishops who dictate to the churches and all that. One of the concerns that they have is that there is no accountability, which all the more people in my position, you got to still recognize we answer to an even higher authority. There were these hot dogs. They were called Hebrew National Hot Dogs. Any of y'all heard about Hebrew National Hot Dogs? Hebrew National Hot Dogs, okay, so if y'all want to eat hot dogs, eat some Hebrew National Hot Dogs. Because Hebrew National Hot Dogs, they're kosher hot dogs. Kosher means that they're made according to the Jewish laws of the scriptures and all that. And then it says this. It says when they used to run their commercial, they say you can depend on Hebrew National Hot Dog because we answer to an even higher authority. In other words, saying we go beyond the Food and Drug Administration. We go beyond the Agriculture Administration. We got to prepare our food according to the word, a high authority. Listen, I don't care how much authority you have and how many degrees you have and how much independence you have and how much money you have. We are still all, as Christians, supposed to be under the authority of Jesus Christ. So can I tell you, that means it's supposed to be about him, not about us. And so I don't know what has happened, but some kind of way we, the church, we've drifted off course regarding our purpose, both individually and collectively as a church. We've drifted off course regarding our mission, what we're supposed to be doing. We've drifted off course regarding our calling as individuals and as the church. I was talking to a pastor the other day. I said, you know, everybody's, you know, now the church, everybody in the church, I ain't going to say everybody, but there's so many churches, we're so concerned about not looking too strange to the world. We're trying to blend in to the world. People don't want to. Some of y'all, when you hear this, you think I'm. But there are people sit around committees and they strategize when they plan to serve. We can't sing a song about the blood because people don't understand about the blood, and that sounds too gory. No, I'm not saying this to be comical. There are people say, well, don't. There are people, they don't want to receive an offering in the church because people don't understand giving. So they say, just leave something at the back of the church, and if y'all want to give, just let you do it on the way out. Y'all know that don't work with all the kind of peoples. You know what I'm saying? All the kind of peoples just ain't going to do that. Y'all will come up in here and shout and fall out and look at the, ain't that nice screen? How much did you say that cost? $200,000, that's so nice. And go on about your business and talk about what a great church we have. Unless people are taught. You don't know things unless you're taught. So the body of Christ, we're supposed to teach, not work around what you don't know. So if you don't know about the blood, I ain't supposed to not mention the blood. I'm supposed to let you know that nothing can wash away your sin but the blood of Jesus. I'm supposed to teach you that without the shedding of his blood, there is no remission of sin. I'm supposed to teach you that when you have this communion and we drink this juice, this represents his body which was broke for you and his blood that was shed for you. And now you got to get an understanding. I ain't going to change because you don't understand it. I need to teach you so you can understand. So the church to say today, well, don't teach that because the world ain't doing that. And Jesus said real clear, ye Christians, the church, are the light of the world. You are a city upon a hill that cannot be hid. You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. And he said, nobody lights a candle or light and then puts it under a bushel. No, you put the light out where everybody can see it. Y'all been singing this song too long, this little light of mine. Get rid of that little light. You can't do no something little light. It's too much sin to have a little light. It's too many strong winds blowing to have a little light. You got your little light. Circumstance will come along and knock your little light out. You better put that light on a candlestick and let it brighten up your life and brighten up circumstance. We're not called to blend in. And so now we build churches. I'm telling y'all, there's marketing meetings. How long the service needs to be to get y'all in here and get you out. I can assure you, the NBA ain't strategizing about how quick they can get this game over. I can assure you, the NFL is not saying, let's see how quick we can get, let's go from four quarters to three thirds. Nobody else is trying to rush anything but the church. Know why? Because we're making it about us. We don't want to be inconvenienced. Y'all already prayed. I know this message is going to be challenging. Y'all heard me pray about this challenge today. I already know. So I ain't scared of y'all. All right? Some kind of way we've gotten off course. Rather than seeking and building the kingdom of God, many of us, and right now I'm talking to my profession, my colleagues in ministry, we are so busy about building our own kingdom. We got the spirit of Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar walks out one day on his palace and said, look what I have done. Look what I have built by the might of my hands. And God said, you crazy, so I'm going to let you go crazy. And he lost his mind. And he went out and was living like a wild animal till his hair grew on him like an animal and his claws grew like an animal. And then he said, when I acknowledged God, then my reasoning came back to me. Look at somebody say, don't lose your mind. I said, oh, Nebuchadnezzar, you think this about you? You think you built this? You've done nothing without me. By me, all things consist. Nobody do nothing for me. I wake up every morning and I drive my own self to work and I work with my own two hands. Oh, are you crazy? It's God that woke you up this morning. We have family members who've experienced Alzheimer's. I drove my own self to work. Do you realize if you had Alzheimer's, you wouldn't remember how to get to work? God keeps your mind. If you had a stroke, you may not be able to get out the bed if you did wake up. Mother Betty says, she scares with that all the time. She said, you may be cute, but don't you depend on your looks, because God, you can wake up and you're going to take your awkward. Every time she says, I said, Lord Jesus, don't let me have no stroke. You may be cute. God let you have a stroke and your face be all twisted up. We can't ever think we don't need God. And the scripture says, by him all things consist. All things that he might have the preeminence. And so what's happened, y'all, we're building our own kingdoms. Everything's about us. And what has is stimulating this, and a lot of what the impetus is for this, is social media. Because social media is all about everybody promoting themselves to be something, even if they're nothing. Social media is about blowing yourself up. Come on, y'all. It's gotten to the point, and one time I was getting called away with you. I said, this is something, you know, you go get a steak and lobster tail. You got to show a picture of it. Eat your food and go on about your business. Nobody got to see everything you eat. You know, putting a picture of yourself shopping at Louis Vuitton. I saw something. It came across one. You can get a Rolex now for $95 a month. Why? Somebody said, well, where? Who? How? And we're going broke trying to show folks we ain't broke. And y'all listen to me. Trying to impress people who don't matter and who don't care. And so we're watching this stuff. And so everybody want to give one upmanship. And so somebody else showed themselves here. You got to show yourself there. And somebody else says that I'm doing this. And I got this. And I got this organization I started. And I started this business. And I don't mean no harm, y'all. Sometimes I go to say less. And some of y'all, you're just big in your own minds. But I understand this culture is making you feel insignificant if you don't blow yourself up. God, when God called Abraham in Genesis 12, he said, Abraham, leave your mother, leave your father, leave your kindred. Go to a land that I will show you. I will bless you. I will make your name great. And you shall be a blessing to all families of the earth will be blessed. No, God said, Abraham, if you follow me, I will bless you. I will make your name great. Can I tell you, stop trying to make your name great on Facebook and Instagram and whatever and Snapchat and whatever else. Y'all looking too stupid about putting all those flowers around your head all the time and putting rabbit ears on your head. And what's wrong with you? Stop it. You 42. You look like a fool. We need to change that from Snapchat to Slapchat. When I see you chat, stop it. 52 putting pictures of yourself on the internet with a rabbit nose. And a crown of flowers around your head. What are you doing? Everything's about us. We're so much into self-promotion. And God told Abraham, Abraham, I'll make your name great. Can I tell you something? You can make your name great. Try to do it yourself. And you promote yourself beyond your ability to handle it. You got to know how to breathe the air of popularity. Amen. How about this? You're gonna say something crazy on Facebook. Somebody's gonna respond, and then you're gonna your response to them is stay out of my business. What's wrong with you? You just put your business on Facebook. And all this sub-tweeting and sub-Facebooking, you know, I can't stand people. People be getting on my nerves. You know, sometimes I got family members who think I'm just there. They just want to use me all the time. Call your cousin. Just call him and say, don't do that. Right in this section. So what's happening, y'all? We're reverting back to the days of the Tower of Babel. Genesis 11, it talks about before the flood, one reason why God calls the flood, during the days of the Tower of Babel, These people got together. The Bible said they were all one people. There was all one language. And Genesis 11:4 says, and they said, go to now, which means come together now. Let us build us a city. Let us build who a city? Us a city. And a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. This would have been the equivalent of a modern day skyscraper. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. So they said, let's build this tower for our glory, for our honor, for our majesty, so we can all stay here together in this one place and everybody know where to stay around. But it was God's will for man to inhabit the whole earth. So nobody asked God what you want. We built our own towers for our own purpose. We're trying to make us a name. And God came down and said, now I got to mess this up because they're doing something that's not my will. And when you study it, the context says, and the Bible says, God said from his perspective, this, the people are one. They have one voice, they have one mind. This they begin to do, and nothing shall be impossible to them. Now watch this. They were getting ready to do something that God didn't want them to do. They were getting ready to be successful at something that God didn't want them to do. You got to hear that, because you can be very successful at something that God doesn't want you to do. God said, they're going to be able to do this. And just because you were able to do it, and just because it's high, and just because a lot of people know about it, and just because it's made your name great, does not mean you're in the will of God. You can be doing the right thing at the wrong time in the wrong place. You can be in the right place at the right time with the wrong people. You can have the right people doing the right thing and be in the wrong place. There's a lot of stuff that got to come together for you to be in the will of God, other than just what you want. It's about him. In Acts 17, verse 26 through 28, I ought to remind you, Paul comes to this place called Mars Hill. It's a Greek place where they got statues and altars to all their gods, all the Greek gods. Zeus and Dionysus and Neptune and all these different gods. And Paul said, I see, man, y'all are some superstitious people. Which means y'all some religious people. Boy, y'all worship everything and everybody. He said, but I came to this one, and you got this one there that's written to the unknown God. He said, now, the unknown God, can I talk to you about that one? The one you don't know. Let me tell you some stuff about the unknown God. Verse 26, he says, he hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth. Not dwell in one place, dwell on the earth. And he hath determined the time beforehand. How many of y'all ever said, I should have been born another time? Mm-hmm. Some of y'all told me, I wouldn't have been no slave. You know, I would have been sojourning the truth. I would have been Harriet Tubman. You know, you better be glad you bought it this time. The Bible said, he determines your time before appointed. So God determines when you're supposed to be in the earth. And look at this. I want you to see this. And he determined the bounds of our habitation. Can I stop there for a moment? That means before you just go move somewhere. God, what's the bounds of my habitation? Where am I supposed to be? Can I tell y'all something? I picked out a city and a place way back in the late 80s. I was going to go back and start a church in South Jersey, a town called Morristown. I'll get transferred to Philadelphia, and I'll live in South Jersey, and I'll start. But that wasn't God's plan. That was my plan.
We all have plans, goals, and aspirations. But what if God wanted to do something different in our lives? In this powerful series, Dr. Herbert Bailey reminds us it's all about Jesus and his will, his purpose, and his glory. Order this message today on CD or DVD. You may also get the MP3 download. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rightdirection.info. Order It's All About Jesus.
If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations. In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereport@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.